Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
We want to welcome you this day. Glad you're here, and want to encourage you that whatever's going on in your world, God's on the throne. And we're studying the book of Revelation together, and we're this morning beginning chapter 3, Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. This is a wake-up call. Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. This is God's word. "To the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up! Strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Obey it and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my fathers and his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Have you ever gotten a call in the middle of the night? Most of the time, it's not good news. I don't like those kind of calls that come in the middle of the night and startle me awake with bad news. But I also recall a telephone call that I received when my wife and I were redecorating our home in Atlanta. I was new to the church there, had not been there more than a few months, and we'd finally moved into our own home, and we were doing some decorating and painting, and in the course of moving furniture and things in the master bedroom, I had unplugged the alarm clock and then replugged it and reset it so that I'd be sure and be up on time to be at church for the early service the next morning. Unfortunately, I forgot about the distinction between a.m. and p.m. And so I got a call. We'd been working hard. I was sound asleep. And it seemed like a call in the middle of the night, but it actually was a call after the service was supposed to have started at our church. My assistant on the other end said, Jim, I just wanted to see if you were okay. Are you planning on coming this morning? Now, I mean, I'm trying to figure out what planet I'm on, what state I'm in. You know, I mean, I was still a lot of cobwebs in the head. And I looked at the clock, and I thought, that's crazy. I know I set the alarm. I figured out later what had happened. But I thought, how could that possibly be? I said, yes, I'll be there in just a few minutes. I did not obey Romans 13 on the way to church. But I got there before the song service was over, and I was able to preach. And then I went home during the Sunday school hour and shaved. That was a wake-up call. I was asleep when I needed to be awake. And I'll not forget it until I completely go senile. I mean, when something like that happens, the adrenaline kicks in. I mean, there's all this. Well, folks, here is a message from the Lord Jesus Christ saying to a group of believers, wake up! Wake up! Because you see, when we're asleep, we don't really realize what's going on, do we? We're not paying real good attention. It just kind of is passing us by, and we're just kind of oblivious because we're sleeping. The church in Sardis was asleep. Jesus says to them, and he says to us, I know your deeds. Now he says this to multiple churches in these letters. And it's something that all of the churches need to know. He says, I know what's going on. I know what you're really up to. I know what you're doing when nobody's looking. I know your deeds. Not just your words, not just your intentions. I know what you're actually doing. Not just what you say you want to do, not just what you think maybe you'll do someday. I know what you're up to. I know how you spend your time. I know your deeds. And so appearances are not enough. Jesus says, you have a reputation of being alive, but you're dead. This is a church that had a reputation for being alive. Hey, it's the happening place. We've got a tremendous program for all ages. Please come. I mean, it looked good, but it was dead. Other churches got letters warning against heresy. Other churches got letters comforting them in the midst of persecution. Sardis was the place to be. No heresy to rebuke. No persecution to endure. Apparently, they were orthodox and popular and dead. It's not enough to be able to check off that, yeah, we believe that too. Jesus says, I know your deeds. I know what you're doing. It's not enough to say, yes, these things we believe. You must put it into practice. And so Jesus says to this church, appearances are not enough. You need to wake up. Wake up. Be watchful. Now, what's going on there? Sardis was a city in decline. Sardis was a place that had once been extremely wealthy and extremely powerful. They had come up with a way of refining metals so that they could separate gold and silver to extreme purity. And therefore, they are often credited as the place where real currency, like we have today, was coined. But twice, at least twice in their history, they were conquered by outsiders. And in both those cases, it happened because when their enemies came, they found that nobody was standing watch. Sardis was built as a fortress on top of a hill, and they felt so secure about their position that they weren't awake. And so twice they were conquered during the night while they slept because no one was standing watch. If ever there was a city where the believers should understand Jesus saying, wake up! Wake up! Or you're going to be destroyed. This was a place where they ought to get the message. But that isn't just a message for Sardis. Jesus used those words, not just here, but repeatedly in the Gospels. Take a look at Luke chapter 12. Don't lose your place in Revelation. Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 35. Jesus says, "Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." Jesus says we need to be living our lives in eager anticipation of his coming again. Now, as we started this book, I said I'm a pro-millennialist. I think there are arguments that are credible for more than one position. However, if you nail me down, I'm premillennial. Historic premillennialism. And one of the reasons for that is precisely this. Jesus says, be on the watch. Be looking. Be anticipating. Be prepared. Because you don't want to be unprepared when he comes. Well, what do we do? What do we do? You do what he told you to do. That's what you do. It's not standing around doing nothing, just hoping, you know, well, I really hope. Do you see anything? What are you supposed to be doing? That's what you're to be doing. He told you what to do. He told us how to live. Walk in obedience to him. And as you walk in obedience to him, you will be prepared and rejoice at his coming. It'll bring you joy.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread his word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, Jesus tells us, not just the folks in Sardis, he tells all of us, we need to be ready. We need to be prepared. We need to be looking for his return. And so for the folks in Sardis, this is the call to repent. Look at it. Wake up. Strengthen what remains. On the one hand, as a whole, Jesus says, you're dead. But Jesus is able to speak to the dead and call them to life. He did it with Lazarus. He can do it with churches today. I've seen it happen. Wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Verse 3, remember therefore what you have received and heard. Their problem was not that they hadn't been given adequate information. Their problem was that they were forgetting what they already knew. 2 Peter is written in order to help people remember what they already knew. And Peter says over and over again, I know you already know this, but it's important for me to remind you again. I want to be sure you don't forget this. Don't lose sight of this. So Jesus says, you need to remember what you have received and heard. Obey it and repent. Obey it and repent. Obey it and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief. In other words, you will be unprepared when you have to face me. I will come like a thief, and you will not know what time I will come to you. And then he says something very comforting. To people who find themselves distressed by what's going on around them and yet completely out of step with the other folks. I had a friend years ago who was in the Anglican Church. And the Anglican Church was making a series of horrible decisions. And somebody said to him, you are a solid Bible-believing evangelical. How can you stay in the Anglican Church? Now, this was back in the 1970s, and you have to remember fashion trends in the 70s. He said, it's a little like looking out the window and seeing your mother walking in public wearing a pair of hot pants. It makes you feel sick. But she's still your mom. But what was the point? The point was, where else do I go? If you're a part of the church in Sardis and most of the believers in Sardis are doing the wrong thing, you don't just leave the church. But what if the people won't listen? Well, then you be faithful. You be faithful. That's what Jesus tells them. You can still do the right thing. Yet, you have a few people, verse 4, in Sardis, who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. Praise the Lord. In other words, if you are obedient to God and the people all around you aren't, you will still be seen and blessed by God when he comes. You may not feel it right now. It may not look good. You may not be popular. People may not pat you on the back and say, man, I wish I was like you. That's okay. We don't obey God for the sake of popularity. If that's your goal, it won't work. Jesus said, a servant is not above his master. They're going to treat you the way they treated me. If you've read the Gospels, you know that was pretty painful. Okay? So if you're committed to doing the right thing, you will repeatedly find even religious people who are very unkind to those who would walk as Jesus walked. But Jesus says, they will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. What a beautiful promise. What a precious promise. And then he says, he who overcomes will like them be dressed in white, and I will never blot out his name from the book of life. Well, I want to be one of the ones who overcomes. Don't you? What do I have to do? Trust and obey. You know what it says about the ones who overcome? 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. I'll read it to you. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. What? Everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. It's all about your relationship with him. It's not a list of accomplishments. It's a trusting relationship in Jesus Christ. If you've been born of God, if you've been born again, born of his Spirit, you're an overcomer.
So I'd really like to be an overcomer. I read in the back of Boys Life magazine that if I order this course and start doing these exercises, I will no longer have to be a 90-pound weakling. Okay?
That's not the way this works. Trust in the Lord. He has already won the victory for us. The Apostle Paul tells us in the letter to the Romans, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. It's not about, yes, I am an overcomer. It's about, yes, I am an overcomer because I'm in Christ. He's already won the victory. So, Jesus says, he who overcomes will, like them, be dressed in white, robed in his righteousness. And he says, I'll never blot out his name from the book of life. That is a message of security. He says, I'll never blot out his name from the book of life. Now, some people read that and they say, oh, so the Lord's standing there with a pen and if I mess up, he might mark out my name. He says, no. You trust in me, you're secure. If your confidence is in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, your name will never be blotted out. It'll never be blotted out. Well, at the end of the book in Revelation 22, it does talk about some people having their names blotted out. So does that mean you can lose your salvation? Because that would really make me nervous. I don't want to be nervous. I don't want to be one of those people who's nervous, you know, but when I read something like that, and I read ahead. You tell us to read the whole book, so I read ahead, and I got to Revelation 22:19. It says, okay, this is a promise to people who are trusting in Jesus. I'll never blot out your name. Revelation 22:19 is a promise to people who do not take God at his word. You add to his word or take away from his word, if you refuse to receive and believe what God says, your name is not going to be in the book of life. This is given as a promise to believers. The other is given as a warning to unbelievers. And there are people who go to church, go to seminary, even become high church officials who do not take God at his word. Let me tell you, seminary education and high ranking in a denomination will not get you into heaven. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's it. If you've been born again, you're an overcomer. God says so. You're trusting in him, you're saved. God says so. But it says here he knows my deeds. And there are some problems in my life. Mine too. So what do we need to do? Repent. Wake up and repent. Wake up and repent. Remember what you've heard and received. Obey it and repent. And the one who overcomes will walk with Jesus, dressed in white. Hallelujah indeed.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.